heard about this baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy. And I just want to sing this song to you. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. With every breath I'm singing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. A couple came to Bethlehem expecting child. They searched the inn to find a place, for you were coming soon. And there was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only son was born. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
The shepherds left their flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light. A host of angels led them all to you. It was just as the angel said, you'll find him in a manger bed. Emmanuel, our Savior, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. A star shone bright up in the east to Bethlehem. The wise men three came many miles and journey long for you. And to the place at which you were, there frankincense and gold and myrrh they gave to you and cried out, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
I know you came to rescue me, this baby boy would grow to be a man, and one day died for me and you.
My sins were dried and nailed in you. That rugged cross was my cross too. Still every breath you drew is hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, April 21st, 2023. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening over Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of a website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up... we're going to veer off from our regular Bible reading. We're going to read John chapter 20 in light of yesterday's Resurrection Sunday. Let's see if I can find that. It should be here, maybe. Okay, Gospel of John chapter 20, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself, and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
Okay, Jan, do we have any questions tonight or any announcements?
Yes, we have one announcement, John, and we have a number of questions. The announcement is about a National Day of Prayer, which is a bit of a misnomer because it's a three-day prayer vigil. Starts April 30th, runs through May 1st and May 2nd of this year. It's put on by Zane Longhorn's prayer vigil. There is a link to it if you want to learn more about it, and I put it in the newsletter at the front. The link is https://americaturnsback.org. That's americaturnsback.org. So I would encourage any and all that would think about tuning in, please go to the website and get signed up and join the crowd. The first question tonight, John, was one that I think you were going to look over. It concerned the person that had a question about the interest in the 1911 gatekeeper clause of Section 21 of New York State election law.
Okay, yep. I did look up, I went back into the book. I guess they were referencing, I believe, off of the Government by Consent book. So let me open up a copy of that. And I found it here under, it was on page 290, I guess. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this and maybe have a little bit of an interpretation or further interpretation of what Washington clause is. Can you read the question again from last week?
Yes, I'll read the whole thing to start. I'm very much interested in the 1911 gatekeeper clause of Section 21 of the New York election law. I am a Republic committee man. Well, maybe can, in Suffolk, New York, and believe the political parties in the United States have betrayed the citizens, voters of our county, and are a major source of our problems. I would ask if you could possibly elaborate on this clause and its origin.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to read what's in the book, maybe a couple paragraphs or so, and then maybe I'll, like I said, I'll comment a little more, you know, on it. Gerard and I found this when we went back to look at the old law before they made a lot of changes. I forget what we were looking for, and we couldn't find it. And then we realized, well, okay, they must have removed it from the law. Well, we weren't looking for this, though. Well, we found this also at the same time. So we went up to the archives up in Albany, and we went to research the problem, and the books were gone. The old law was gone, but there was an individual there that was passing by and heard us talking and said, no, we still have that. It's on microfiche or something? Micro something?
Microfiche.
Okay, so we went through that, and he got some copies of that out or ran that for us, and we started looking into it and reading it. And like I said, I forget exactly what we were looking for particularly, but we did also come across this at the same time, and we did find what we were looking for. So I wrote in the book some information on this, and like I said, it's on page 290, I think, 289 before 290. and it's labeled politics, was supposed to be rational and not and collaborative and not competitive. Our founding fathers did not anticipate or desire the existence of political parties, viewing them as factions. As a matter of fact, I'm going to talk a little more about that tonight before we open up for the open forum. So they viewing them as factions, dangerous to the public interest. Our founders' Republican ideology called for a subordination of narrow interests to the general welfare of the community under Republican ideology. Politics was supposed to be rational and collaborative, not competitive. Our founding fathers were generally uneasy about political parties. For the most part, they believed that parties had the potential to tear the new nation apart. To these men, political parties meant factionalism, which they believed could be fatal to the development of the United States as a unified country. It is no surprise, then, that political parties are entirely omitted from the Constitution. In response, George Washington's concern on parties, the following clause, referred to as the Washington Clause, the George Washington Clause, was written into the New York Election Law, Section 21, which stated, "No organization or association of citizens for the election of a city town offices shall be deemed a political party." Regrettably, the aforesaid clause was removed between 1909 and 1911. Matter of fact, they added volumes and volumes of lore between 1909 and 1911. And the committeeman was then codified. And today, John Adams' dreaded political evil came to pass, and the two-party system reached maturity, fulfilling George Washington's warnings and thereby ushered in the beginning of the end of our republic via party bosses in Republican Party associations and a Democratic Party association. Okay, I'm not going to read much more, but it does go on. The committeeman of safety, the committee of safety, committeeman, the concept in order to operate the matter in a matter which is suggested by history must operate as committees. Now, I'm not going to read any more on this. We've got a lot of information, and this is in the book, Government by Consent, by the way. And we've got a lot of information on this particular problem and situation. And so what George Washington really was talking about is that he didn't want political parties. And he knew that they would take, because we had the committeeman process. The committeeman process is how we created the United States of America. Every colony had their own committees, and the committees came together, and they sent leaders to come together in order to discuss the problems, and they did that often. They governed themselves, and that was what the committeeman process was all about. It was the committees of safety, and so all of our founding fathers belonged to the committees of safety. He saw the problem where there'd be divisions and creating parties out of these committees of safety, and to create two-party system. And they speak about that. Matter of fact, we may even look a little bit into that tonight, because I did a little research to pull some other stuff up that I wanted to talk about tonight. And I think I took some information concerning that situation into what we're going to share tonight. But in any event, that was the problem. So no organization or association of citizens for the election of city officers shall be deemed a political party. No political party. So the Republican Party is an organization. As a matter of fact, they believe they may even be incorporated, but it's definitely an organization. And so it's organized, and you've got the two-party system, and that is exactly what has destroyed our republic. Unfortunately, a lot of people who appear to be well-educated, unfortunately, they've been poisoned, just like all of us have been poisoned all of our lives by the lies and the things that they have sold us. But they've been poisoned to believe that there must be political parties. We got to have a two-party system. We can't survive a one-party system. Well, you see, the fact of the matter is that if there was no parties, there'd be no really discussion on our rights and to try to change things. And of course, the big conversation is really the moving into democracy. They keep talking about their democracy. And our founding fathers had nothing to do with democracy. They wrote a lot about democracy being a problem. We read about it in the Anti-Federalist Papers, read about in the Federalist Papers, we read it about in George Washington's farewell address, and we read about it in many, many conversations that our founding fathers had when they communicated with each other and others through different, ultimately, you know, through written letters. So there's a lot of information on this. And we did collect quite a bit of information, put it together in a lot of things we've written up here on National Liberty Alliance, and particularly, of course, in this book, Government by Consent. pretty much is really what that, you know, that particular clause is really making the point to do. So they removed that, and it's found again in New York Election Law Section 21. Now, I know I have a copy of that somewhere because we did get a copy from Off the Microfiche. I'll see if I can find it. It may already be up on National Liberty Alliance. I'll see if I can find it and post it up there so people can look into it and read what the law looked like before. But committeemen were not to be elected. Committeemen, it's an unalienable right to have government by consent, and that means anyone could become a committeeman. And you can have as many committeemen as you want. Many hands make light work. The more people involved, the less work the individuals have to do individually. And of course, we should teach our children to get involved in these things. We should teach them that they owe it back to the people. You know, what they have received as a gift from our founding fathers all the way down the line to us, and we give it to our children, and children must give it to their children's children's children. So anyway, that's pretty much, I think, what that person was looking to try to figure out. Okay, Jan, any other questions?
We have one more, John. It says, I purchased a copy of your book on the Book of Revelation as a gift. Upon reading the table of contents, the recipient noticed that the page numbers in the table of contents were not consistent with its location in the body of the book. The book ends at page number 380, and the table of contents lists page numbers that exceed the book's actual number of pages. Upon examining through the book, all of the contents were within the book, but were found at different page numbers. I just wanted to make that known so no one else might become alarmed at first glance.
Okay, I got a copy of the book. I'm looking at it real quickly now, and I'll have to go in and check that out if we have the page. Sometimes the page numbers shift a little bit when you're repairing things, and you know, I go back to try to correct them, and maybe I just missed a page or two, and then a whole bunch of pages after that would be affected. But I will go back to this week and correct that problem. You know, what's good and nice about you know, going up and putting a book, publishing it up on Amazon, is you can go in and make corrections and changes pretty much any time. As a matter of fact, they made some changes to Government by Consent just recently. And I really didn't add much to it, but I wanted to clean it up a little bit. Some of the paragraphs I wanted to separate with a space particularly. So that was the major change, really. It was a formatting change. And that, of course, altered pages, and I had to correct that. And I also saw that it was off a little bit of the alignment, so that when I reset the alignment, it gave the pages a little wider. So I did have more space that I didn't have to go over too many pages from the original book to this book. But again, what is in the book is pretty much the same that's in the, well, it's exactly the same. Only difference, again, is the spaces between paragraphs. What I was doing, I was indenting each new paragraph, which then people could see that it's a new paragraph. But I think a book reads better when you put the spaces in there. And I had, this was the first book I wrote, and so I really didn't make that change. All my other books, I think I did a lot of changes as far as formatting it with spaces. And I know with the book, the study on parables in the Book of Revelation, I did make the spacings with that. But again, I'll fix that up this week. I appreciate someone letting me know that. Okay, any other questions?
No, that's the end, John.
Okay. All right. I put together, I wanted to keep this short, ended up being 2 pages. I'm going to read this tonight. I think it's very important to read it and talk a little bit about it and where we're at and what we're doing with the United States Supreme Court. And but I put this 2-page letter, and I want to send a book, a copy of the book, Government by Consent, to, I believe the count is 45 or 46 people now. Everyone was in Trump's administration, of course, Trump himself, and some senators and some congressmen and a few other people, a couple other people that are not in his administration but are close by. And my theory, so to speak, is maybe someone will read the book, okay? Hopefully they'll all read this book, and I want to really try, and so I'm putting a cover letter together on this, which will go with the book, and I want to mail the book out with a copy of the paper that we're going to file with the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court. So this is a paper I worked on today. Like I said, it's 2 pages. It's longer than what I wanted it to be, but I was having trouble trying to get at least the important parts that I wanted to get into this paper without going to less than two pages. I like to have done in 1 page. So what I'm going to do with this particular paper, though, is I'm going to, it's going to go out as 2 pages. So, all right, so let me read it. I hope that people have comment on this. Matter of fact, let me open up the queue for right now. Okay, I hope people will want to talk a little bit about this, give us some thoughts on it, maybe even some corrections, some other ideas, maybe something we should add, or even some things that they think we might want to take out. You know, I'll consider all things. So your comments are welcome. And your comments are welcome on all my work anyway. So let me read through this, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the plan. For the President Trump and Cabinet and others, we have all been taught the lie. It ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. Mark Twain. Now, what might that be? Article 4, Section 4, the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. While trying to discover a form of government, John Adams wrote that democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There was never a democracy that did not commit suicide. Our founding fathers reviled democracy and gave their posterity a republic. As Thomas Jefferson said, the republican is the only form of government that is not eternally at open or secret war with the rights of mankind. Federalist number 10, Madison. Democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contentions, have ever been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and have in general been as short in their lives as they have been in violent in their deaths. Anti-Federalist paper number 10. True Democrats are in general fanatics and enthusiasts and some few sensible, charming madmen. Anti-Federalist number 74. There is not a tincture of democracy in the proposed Constitution, except a nominal election. Every free man of America ought to hold up this idea to himself that he has no superior but God and the laws. Just because we elect most of our representatives by popular vote does not make us a democracy. We don't elect the president by popular vote, and that's for good reason. And we should not be electing our senators at all. The 17th Amendment destroyed the balance of power and is repugnant to the Constitution. See Article 5. The states lost suffrage and thereby lost their sovereignty. And the people lost their representation to special interest groups and thereby lost their sovereignty. And we lost our common law courts by the Rules Enabling Act, which is what the paper to the United States Supreme Court is all about, which abrogated our Bill of Rights, because if you cannot have just courts, there is nothing to protect our rights. One method of assault may be to affect the forms of the Constitution alterations, which will impair the system to undermine what cannot be directly overthrown. George Washington's farewell address. All obstructions to the execution of the law, all combinations and associations, political parties, under whatever plausible characters, with the real design to direct, control, counteract, or awe the regular deliberation and action of the constituted authorities, are destructive of this fundamental principle and of fatal tendency. They serve to organize faction, and that's an exclusive circle of people with a common purpose, political parties, to give it an artificial and extraordinary force, to put it in the place of the delegated will of the nation, the will of the party. Often a small but artful and enterprising minority of the community, and according to the alternative triumphs of different parties, to make the public administration the mirror of the ill-concerted and incongruous projects of faction, rather than the organ of consistent and wholesome plans digested by common councils and modified by mutual interest. However, combinations or associations of the above description, as the Democrat and the Republican parties came to be that picture, may now and then answer popular ends. They are likely, in the course of time, let me scroll this up a bit, in the course of time and things to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government. The committeeman is the reins of government, by the way. Destroying afterwards the very engines which lifted them up to just dominions. It was the committeeman, that's the engine that lifted them up to those dominions. One method of assault may be to effect in forms of the Constitution alterations which will impair the energy of the system and thus to undermine what cannot be directly overthrown. You know, if the people were educated in common law, educated in who we are as a people and our founding fathers and how this whole thing came together, then they wouldn't have been able to do anything. We never would have lost this nation. Will impair the energy of the system and thus to undermine what cannot be directly overthrown. It is indeed little else than a name where the government is too feeble to withstand the enterprises of faction to confine each member of the society within the limits prescribed by the law and to maintain all in the secure and tranquil enjoyment of the rights of the person and property. It opens the door to foreign influence and corruption. Wow, have we seen that or what? Which find a facilitated access to the government itself through the channels of party passions. Thus, the policy and the will of one country are subjected to the policy and the will of another. Our founding fathers were generally uneasy about political parties. For the most part, they believed that parties had the potential to tear the new nation apart. To these men, political parties meant factionalism, which they believed could be fatal to the development of the United States as a unified country. It is no surprise, then, that the political parties are entirely omitted from the U.S. Constitution. In response to George Washington's concern, this is what we read a little while ago, on the parties, the following clause referred to as the George Washington Clause was written into New York's election law subsection 21, which states, no organization or association of citizens for the election of city officers shall be deemed a political party. Committeeman was morphed into political parties, codified, and then prevented just anybody from joining. You had to get the acknowledgement of the party boss. Regrettably, the aforesaid clause was removed between 1909 and 1911, and the committeeman was codified. And today's John Adams' dreaded political evil came to pass, and the two-party system reached maturity, fulfilling George Washington's warning, and thereby ushered in the beginning of the end of our republic via party bosses and Republican Party associations, and the Democrat Party Association. All of America's woes can be traced back to political parties. George Washington was right. Read the book, Government by Consent, gifted to you by National Liberty Alliance, and reinstate our republic. You owe it to the people. If we don't return our political and judicial process back to what our founders pledged their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor to bless us with, in fact, it was Benjamin Franklin who, after putting his quill pen down, quipped, "We must indeed all hang together, or most assuredly we shall hang separately." Despite such dire consequences, the reality was that our founding fathers valued freedom and its promise for themselves and their posterity, whereas signing the Declaration proved to be the very, very costly. 5 signers were captured by the British and brutally tortured as traitors. 9 fought in the Revolutionary War and died from wounds and or hardships. 2 lost their sons in the war, and 2 others had sons captured. At least a dozen of the 56 had their homes pillaged and burned. 249 years later, we stand at the precipice to restore or not our republic that we lost, that was bought with blood. We will never have this chance again. All the work that President Trump and all the patriots are doing is worthless if we don't listen to Jefferson and Washington, because our liberty rests in our common law courts, without which there will be no liberty. It will only be a matter of time when psychopaths and sociopaths, I'll reverse that, regain power again and bring us back to the brink of destruction. The ABA's judiciary's dark reasoning for covertly and criminally abolished common law is because they claim that a rigid application of common law rules, also known as God's self-evident truths, maxims, brought about injustice. This is absurd, considering that God is good, just, and merciful, and they are not. And therefore it follows that his law is just and merciful, while the hearts of men are desperately wicked, who could know it? As we read in Jeremiah 17:7-9. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the water, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the years of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is desperately above all things, and desperately, let me reread that. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The truth of the matter is that common law shed lights on the ABA judiciary's dark deeds, thereby revealing their true intentions. Their claim that common law rules brought about injustice was an act of deflection, whereas their civil law rules brought about injustice. This seditious covert act, under the teaching and guidance of the subversive American Bar Association and the aforesaid anti-constitutional associations, executed a silent coup by claiming the abrogation of common law with its unalienable rights that were endowed by a creator, and covertly substituted them with civil rights legislated by lawless men. Our nation will be as just or as unjust as our courts. Okay. Anyway, that's the proposed letter. If anybody has any comment on that, I see a few changes I want to make, and maybe change a few words, maybe try to say things a little bit better in different places. This is the first time I just finished this just a few hours ago, and I always like to kind of chew on whatever I write for quite a few days and clean up and make little changes. But if anybody has any thoughts on that, I'm listening to it. Okay, so the plan is to take this paper and to send it with a copy of the book, Government by Consent, to, like I said, about 46 people, I believe, all together, counting the president. And I already sent one to Musk, so 45 people. And a copy of the paper that I haven't written yet, but I'm going to be writing, which is the paper that we're going to be writing for the United States Supreme Court. But I do have some sad news about that. I made note of this a couple of weeks ago and asked for people to give some donations. I hate asking for money. I usually only do once, maybe twice, and then I just let it go. We just had to live with what we got and kind of just move along to do whatever it is that we can do. But anyway, 2 weeks ago, roughly, I asked for some donation. We had $360 given in during that week. So last week, I made a note again and asked again for some monies. And since then, we received another $75. One person sent $75. Matter of fact, on the other one, three people send $100, and a few people send, you know, a little less, you know, $20 or $30 or $5 or whatever the case may be. So we've collected all together now $435. Yeah, $360 plus $75. We've collected $435. Now, I estimate we're going to need about $3,000 to do what we have to do. And that is a bargain of all bargains, because anybody that wants to go to the United States Supreme Court, you get a lawyer to do that, they're going to start off, you got to put $10,000 or $20,000 down. And believe me, they're going to waste every dime of that. Okay. This has nothing to do with cost to anybody making money. I'm not making any money on this. This is hardcore cost. You know, we have to get 46 books, plus we have to mail those books out to about 40, 45 people. So actually it's 45 books. I keep saying 46, but Musk got one already. We have a filing fee I know is $400 for getting into the federal courts. I don't know exactly what it is to get into the Supreme Court. We can go directly to the Supreme Court because ultimately only they're the ones that can answer this paper. The other courts are not courts of record, and therefore they cannot. The United States Supreme Court is a court of record, and they can answer. And there's information on that, which we'll talk about another time. So the filing fee is going to be, at bare minimum, $400, probably more than that, but at least that. You know, some paper and toner, not much on that, but nevertheless, we have to send copies out to 45 individuals. We have to mail them out, and we have to also serve it onto the Supreme Court, by filing it to the Supreme Court, actually. And I do believe they're going to hear this case. I don't think they have a choice, and especially if we get this out to the people that we're talking about, and if people do what they're supposed to be doing, and that is to notify everybody they know concerning this paper. And that'll do a lot for us. It'll help us grow, okay? Help the committees of safety grow. It'll educate more people. It'll bring more people more involved. And hopefully we'll get more donations, and at some point in time, we could go professional. All our members gave us $5 a month, if all our members gave us $5 a month, we'd have more than enough to go total professional here. We can hire about 15 people, pay them decent salaries, and really get some serious work going and get some books written and start working on books in schools and so on and so forth. That's not going to happen, though. But, you know, we do need $3,000 minus $500 we already got in order to push forward this project. It's an important project. Like I said the first time I mentioned this, and I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again. If the people want their republic back, they need to do something about it. They need to step up. And, you know, if most people can afford $20-$30 or whatever, and some people maybe only $5, that's fine. Some people can afford more than that. But we need to collect some money for this to get this done. I am determined to get this done one way or another, okay? I'm going to start writing the paper probably this week, and maybe I'll be able to read it next week. We'll see where I get to on the paper. you know, most of my money coming in from my books, almost all, but most of it anyway, goes right into NLA. And that really helps us to keep all the lights on, so to speak. Okay? This coming month, my auto insurance is due, so there's not going to be anything for that. And we're going to be crawling a little bit this coming month. But we'll get through one way or the other. At some point in time, you know, sometimes I'm able to take a few dollars out of my books that I've written. And I've written a lot more books, so hopefully my income on that is going to grow more and more. And I'm starting to work on an advertising program on that, and hopefully that'll help to grow more and more. But at some point in time, maybe months down the line, I'll accumulate enough money to do this project, whether we get the donations to do it or not now. But if we can get the donations to do it now, if I can get this, I'll work on this week. I'll try to, like I said, read it next week. And maybe next week sometime we'll file it and start getting the mailing out, get the books out. Now, by mailing books, government by consent, you know, to all these people, every single person in his administration is planning to get a copy of the book. And like I said, some senators and some congressmen and a few people around him that are not necessarily in his administration. And at least one of the people have to read it. And if at least one person reads that book and they realize the necessity of returning back to who we are as a people, that they can see that this is a documented book. This is not a book of BS. This is not a book of just creating something out of the air or presuming or assuming anything. This is documented because I put footnotes on everything. Everything in that book is footnoted. I have to believe that 95% of every word in that book is documented. The other 5% is some thoughts or comments or things to sew things together, to bring it together as a book. But it's all research. And I've been documenting my research ever since I started. I don't know of anybody out there that has done the work that we have done. And I don't know many people that really document their work. You know, I read the book... you know, The Excellence of the Common Law by Brent Allen Winters, excellent book. I learned a lot from that. It really helped me in my knowledge of common law and the history of common law and how all these things came together. But he documented his book. He also had tons of footnotes. So we have lots of footnotes in this book, and so it's documented. So all we need is one person. And it'll probably be a non-lawyer person, or maybe two people, or maybe 10 people, or maybe 40 people. I don't know. Maybe one person will get the other person interested. Yeah, I saw that book laying on my desk somewhere. You know, yeah, maybe they can get that. Look, it's up to them. We have to get to these people somehow because they don't understand common law. They don't understand that we're a republic. They don't understand. They don't know nothing about the Rules Enabling Act. It's not in their mind. It was done covertly. And nobody talks about it. They've robbed we the people. They've moved us into Babylonian law, municipality law, the control of the people. The slaves have to be controlled. They've taken our education away from us. We don't even know that we're, well, some people do know or realize or think, they may not really know, but they think we're a Christian nation. I don't just think we're a Christian nation. I absolutely, without any shadow of a doubt in my mind, know we are a Christian nation. We are built upon the Bible. We were our government was constructed as under Israel, and our common law comes from the same place as in Israel, from the Bible. And common law ultimately is just common sense. And God said, in the New Testament and the side of the Bible, He wrote His law into the hearts of men. They all know it. They know, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. They know the basics. Everybody here knows, unless you have a mental deficiency or something, everybody knows when a wrongdoing has been done to another individual. We know when it's done. And we also know how to fix that problem if we have the opportunity to make the changes and say, hey, this is what you got to do to fix the problem, the injury you've done to this person. And that's what the jury is all about. And we don't have free and independent juries. We have municipality law. We have civil law. We have civil rights. We don't have unalienable rights no more. You may think you do, but you don't. We don't have it no more. It's gone. It does not exist in our courts anywhere. I know. We've got hundreds of papers. I don't even know how many cases I've got going, and it's always the same thing. You ain't getting your Constitution here. You're not getting your common law here. We've actually had that said to us once, now get your common law in this court. But they have turned our courts of law into chancery courts. We have chancellors, and there is no court of law at all. You know, there are courts of equity and courts of law. That's written in the Constitution very clearly, and that's who we are as a people. We're under the law, and they're under equity. Equity is still under common law, by the way, because it operates under the rules of common law. We read about that in the Seventh Amendment itself. In the suits of common law, where the value of the controversy shall exceed $20, the right of a trial by jury shall be preserved. And no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Okay, so the common law, you know, due process, the common law is what we're supposed to have. We don't have it. I'm here to tell you, you can think, you can fantasize, you can think that if you ever go to court, you're going to get justice. I'm here to tell you, you're not going to get justice. You know, we've been working in the courts. It gets very frustrating. I got to, you know, admit we were a little naive in the beginning, thought we'd get somewhere with it, and totally just all at all, you know, what's going on here, you know? And so we were a little naive in the beginning. But we continued. The reason why we continued, because we adjusted as time went on. And we continued for the sole purpose in order to prove conspiracy. Because what they do in the courts of New York, and we're talking federal level, but this is also on the state level too, because we have state and even county and even town cases that we've done. But just particularly federal, I want to talk about. Whatever they do in a federal court here in New York, whether in the Southern District or the Northern District, whatever they do in California, Florida, Texas, Montana, Missouri, it doesn't matter where you go. They all do the same thing. They all say the same thing. They all operate in the same way. They all break the law in the same way. And that proves conspiracy. Now, we have indicted them, the entire federal judiciary. We're going to see what they're going to do on a level. We're not, on, you know, as far as Bondi is concerned, we sent copies through presentments also to President Trump and others. And so we've been copying all those people, all this information. And we do expect at some point in time for something to be done. But we have to really make sure that they're taking us serious. We have to really make sure that they are reading what we are writing. And what we are writing, I believe, is very powerful. And the United States Supreme Court really has done a really horrible injustice to the people over the weekend. I'm not going to get into too much discussion on that. And there may be a strategy there that I don't know about. But Alito spoke out. And from listening to what he had to say, I don't think there is a strategy. There's something going on the United States Supreme Court level. And it needs to be dealt with. And maybe we, the people, after we file our paper, if they refuse to hear this, you see, this is why the people have to hear this. We have to get this out everywhere, get it to podcasts. We've got to get it out to our friends, our family, acquaintances, other people we communicate with on the Internet. You know, whatever social place you go to, you've got to get this information out. We need to get this, and we will. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get it out to all of the people around Trump. No one's going to say they don't know about it. But when they look at this and they read that paper, because it will be done as a case going into the United States Supreme Court with copies sent to Trump and all of his administration and others around him, that when they look and see this, they're going to read it. And I want to keep it as short as possible. I want to stay focused on the Rules Enabling Act and the consequences of what took place because of that. And I want to stay focused to keep it as minimum as possible. I'd love to do it in 5 pages. And so I'm going to really struggle to, and if it's possible, I will. But I'm not going to allow it to be too skimpy that it really isn't cohesive enough and isn't strong enough and powerful enough and makes all the great points that has to be made. If I have to do it in 10 pages, then I'm doing it in 10 pages. But I think I could do it in 5. I want to keep it short. And I want these people to read it. And I want them to understand the damage and the destruction they have done to this nation. Because even though they know that they've done damage, they know that they've done destruction, I don't think they're looking at repairing the courts. They don't understand that all these esquires have got to go. They don't understand that. These people are taught, these bar attorneys, these esquires are taught that we are under Roman law. And what do you think Trump and all these other people around him think we're under? They think we're under Roman law. They think our government is fashioned under Rome. It's a lie from Hades. Nothing could be further from the truth. We are fashioned unto Israel. Absolutely clear. Anybody read the book, Government by Consent, and you'll see all the proof in there, who we are as a people. So, I said it 2 weeks ago, said it last week, I'm going to say it now. If the people want to save their nation, they got to get up and do something. You got to donate to this cause. And you should get involved, get your education, get people out there, get involved, and join committees of safety or start committees of safety. I hear people, and I hate to talk like this, but I have no choice. I really feel I need to say it. I hear people complain and bellyache and this and that, and you give them something and they do nothing. Now, that's not everybody, because that's not true for everybody. There is a small group of people that have been supporting NLA and keeping us afloat and getting a lot of work done because they've given us the money to do it. They've given us the support. We also have some people, you know, that are starting committees of safety. Not as fast and there's not as many as that I'd like to see, but they're moving, okay? So there are some people that are doing it. But I talk to so many people in so many places. This isn't the only place I talk. I talk to lots of people. I communicate with a lot of people. And it's always the same thing, you know? Only a couple of people respond. Everybody else just moans and complains and do nothing. We don't deserve liberty if we don't do anything to protect it and to take it back. Trump can fix this nation. All the people around him can work with him to fix this nation. But if they don't fix our courts, it's an absolute guarantee our children's children will revisit exactly what we had to go through, and they may not survive it. And that'll be our fault for not doing it now. Our founding fathers gave their blood. We can at least give our time and a few bucks. We don't have to get out in the streets and fight and give our blood. Thank God that God raised a type of Osiris in Trump. And he's got the understanding, the ability. There's no one else that I can see anywhere in this world that's qualified to be able to do and understand and do what Trump is doing. And he put together a great team around him. But they're lacking the knowledge of who we truly are as a people. They don't know. Therein the reason I wrote that book, Government by Consent. It's a very thick book in the soft cover, you know, if you get paperback. But even on a hardcover, it's 8.5 by 11, and it's a big, thick book. It's a 2-inch thick book, or 1.5 inches, whatever it is. Pretty thick book. And it's got 550 pages, 8.5 by 11. That's a big book. People are intimidated by that, but they shouldn't be. Take your time. Read it a chapter here and a chapter there. Get through it. You know, you don't have to remember everything in there, of course not. Nobody does. And you don't have to remember and be able to articulate it, but you have to understand it. If you understand things, your mind is framed in a way that now you can respond and you know what has to be done. Well, I guess that's all I have to say. All right. We'll open up for a conversation, hopefully. See if anybody's in the queue. We've got one person in the queue. If anybody else wants to get into the queue, it's a *6 and a 1. If you're on a phone and if you're on an Apple browser, there should be a button to get into the queue. So let's get some feedback here. Mark, you got the mic. Go right ahead. Oh boy, you're going to have to reboot because you sound like Donald Duck. Mark, we're not getting. Mark, there's some kind of a problem. You're going to have to reboot. Reboot and come back in, and I don't know if you're going to have to reboot your computer, but probably reboot, start meeting at least. Okay. Rossini, you got the mic next. Go right ahead.
Because it kind of follows what you were saying, and so
you're coming in real low. You could get closer to your mic or something. Or barely hearing you. Okay. I'm raising my volume a bit too.
Can you hear me better?
No. Does anyone else hear her? I can very barely hear you.
Nope. She's very low. I can't hear her very well.
Try to get closer to your mic if you can.
I've never heard.
Still very, very low. I got my volume up pretty high, too.
Okay, I'll louder and I'll make it short. All I wanted to say was, you know, you're trying to get more financial support, and it's bigger than our group. I think if you connected with other Patriot groups, which I've heard some people from time to time tell you, oh, I'm involved with this or that group in wherever, Missouri, it might be helpful to connect with them and present to them what you're doing and ask them to have their people, if their people agree that this is something that would be helpful to promote what we're trying to do, which is to affect these constitutional changes in our legal system, you know, then it'd be more of a united, like, you know, what you're trying to do, in other words, isn't just national liberty, it's any group that agrees with this desire, this effort, this mindset. So I would think it would be helpful to reach out to others that are of similar perspective and get a more unified group that could be supportive of it.
Well, a couple of things on that. Let me just say a couple of things on that. First of all, I have tried talking to different groups, and again, I used to do a lot of interviews in different places. I'd like to get more. It's up to the people to help me. I can't do everything. You know, I ask people all the time, get the word out, talk to podcasters. If you can find a podcaster that's interested in interviewing me, get a hold of Jan. Jan can easily be gotten a hold of, and he can set things up, make the arrangements. Okay, so it's up to the people. People have to do something. I spend my day, I literally spend 10, 12 hours a day, every day, 7 days a week in doing this, what I'm doing. So I'm always involved with something going on. I've got a lot of fortes, I've got a lot of abilities and a lot of different things. But I don't have, hold on, I don't have the knowledge or the understanding on how to ask for money for people who got money, okay? I have tried to ask people for money, but I don't know how. We did have an individual who said that I was going about it the wrong way, that there is a way to do this, and they were going to help me, but then they just disappeared, so... So I don't know how to go about looking for real money, because to do something really big, we need $2 million. $2 million will give us an office, staff the office with 3 or 4 people, and put at least 12 or 15 people full time to work, and that should be enough to take us through maybe 2 years, $2 million. All of that's big money. Now we have a large membership that we send out to. We have almost 12,000 people in our members. So we send out information, and we get what we get, you know. And we do have quite a few hundreds of people that listen in on a Monday night program. They don't necessarily come here live, but a lot of people, especially on Rumble, we have a lot of people that follow us on Rumble. Not the big numbers. You know, we have hundreds. We don't have thousands. I don't know how to get ahead in that either, you know, to kind of get myself up into... the place where you get the word out there. And I think by getting interviewed by podcasters, everybody listens to podcasters these days. Nobody listens to the news anymore. You may get a little bit of Fox here or there, but basically we listen to podcasters. So people should be trying to connect me with podcasters, say, hey, you should go out and interview those people over there at National Liberty Alliance. And see what they're doing. Share the papers. We've got so powerful court papers. Share the papers with them, and you know, get the word out. So that's up to you. That's up to everybody listening. I will try to do the best I can, finding the time to do what I can do. But I don't have that much time to do too much. You know, I think really you got to dig down and put some time into it. You know, so it's tough to do. We do have enough people. We do have enough people that listen in, that could bring us up to the three. Look at, we're looking for $3,000, only $3,000, and we've already got almost $500. So we're looking for $2,500, okay? And I'm telling you right now, you're not going near that Supreme Court. without putting at least 10 grand, at minimum 10 grand, into escrow account of the law. And he's going to eat that up in the first month. It's going to be gone. And he's going to want more money because they're thieves, right? I'm only looking for raw costs. That's all I'm looking for. And on top of that, not just to go into the United States Supreme Court, which we'll probably have to, if we do get heard, and I do believe we will get heard, if we do get heard, we've got to travel out to Washington. Gerard and I will travel out to Washington, okay, because they want, when you go before the Supreme Court, you know, you get your papers in, but then they want to hear from you. They give everybody 30 minutes, but there's nobody on the other side to argue. I mean, who's going to argue against it? I mean, if they find somebody, that's fine. But, you know, we'll go up there and make our argument, a 30-minute argument, because that's the way the Supreme Court operates. They want to have it orally. And that also would pump NLA big time at that point, too, if we did that. But the thing is, okay, we're only looking for cost. Ain't nobody making money here. Ain't nobody making a profit here. We're just getting their cost to go do what we got to do. I don't charge anything for my writing. I live off Social Security and whatever few dollars I can take out from NLA when my book money comes in. If I can pull out $300, $400, $500 out of that, I do so in order to pay my bills. But, you know, there's nobody making $1 zillion here, and things cost money. So anyway, okay, it's up to the people. You want your liberty, you want your courts. I will do it eventually. There's no getting away from that. I will do it eventually, because it may take a couple of months for me to pull together that 3,000. But I will do it, and I'll get it out. I got to get books to these people. If these people need to be educated, because they're not educated. Trump, all these people are educated. Don't get me wrong. They're very highly educated individuals. They're specialists in their fields, their knowledge. They're a fantastic group of people that is around Trump in his administration. I think there's 30 people altogether in his administration, okay? And then there's another 15 people around him. But when you put that all together, these people are highly educated, but they are totally ignorant, 100% ignorant on who we really are as a people. They don't know or understand common law. They don't understand what our courts used to be and what they should be, and they're not. They don't know that. And they're not going to know it until someone gives it. That's why the book, Government by Consent, with all the documentation in it, would change their thinking and their minds. They have no choice but to change their thinkings and their minds, because it's not going to be me telling them anything. It's going to be George Washington, James Madison. It's going to be Jefferson. It's going to be our founders, Benjamin Franklin, our founders, who are going to tell them who we are as a people. It's going to be, you know, going back into the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers, the debates. It's all in that book. I mean, we don't have all of that, you know, that conversation in the book, but the important pieces that we've drawn out of the book, out of the Federalist Papers, to put into the book to make the point to support who we are as a people in the courts. It's all there. So we got to get them to read it. And if we only get a couple of converts, they will convert the rest. But I got to believe they won't rest until they do, if they understand what we had and who we are. Jefferson said the people have no clue. They only understood the gift that they were given here by this government that we have, by the Constitution that they have been given. You know, and the founding document that everything rests upon, the Declaration of Independence, which brings us into the common law, very specifically. Okay, if people only understood that no other nation has or ever had, well, with the exception, of course, of Israel, I think it was 2000 BC. But anyway.
Can you hear me?
I can now. When I'm talking, if you're talking, you may not come through.
Okay. I just want to make sure I clarify. I'm not saying that you have to do the work of reaching out. I am saying that your organization, like Jan, may be more familiar with various people, because I know they've come on from time to time, and various people that say, oh, you should talk with so-and-so, and I get that sounds nice, but then there's a lot behind that. But the point is, you might have gathered some other organizations, contacts and names of other organizations that are similar, you know, small grassroots, So just putting out something to them. This is what I'm trying to do. We're all interested in the same outcome, I think. Could we discuss, if you have any questions, but can you present to your group that this is what I'm trying to do and I'm trying to raise some funds to go to the Supreme Court. Here's the document that I want to present, and can you support it so that we can move this forward? So that's
I agree, and the message is going out to the people. You're saying what I'm saying, the same thing. We need people to step up and help us do it. And no one person has got to give all this kind of money. And again, we're only looking for $3,000. With all the people and members that we have and the people that listen in on this program, if we can't come up with $3,000, that's pretty sad. And in the past, there were times when we did come up with that kind of money. So, we should be able to do it again. I know times are hard. It's hard for me. This is hard for anyone else. I know it. But nevertheless, we need to save our nation. We need to save our courts. Trump's got a hold on what's going on in the nation. We got to work on the courts, in the minds of these people, and in the courts themselves.
Right. But I don't see why NLA and other similar types of groups shouldn't be part of the we.
Well, of course, and it's the podcasters that we need. It's up to the people to get a hold of these. They have to find out how to make contact with someone in a podcaster that they listen to, and to get that information to Jan, and Jan can then make the connection. So we got lots of members. We got to get the people, just get out there, and whoever you listen to, talk to them about NLA, and get them to look at the website. Send them a copy of some of the papers that we file in the courts.
All right, then one thing that you might be saying, one thing that we can hone in and rephrase, is not just we need the funds, which is, that's the overall goal, but then, like, hey, any of you out there, if you listen to LT on, As We Know, And We Know, if anyone, has a subscription to Epoch Times or Epoch Times, if anyone listens to Candace Owens.
Yeah, well, people need to get in touch with them.
Right, but I'm trying to plant these ideas so it's not just we need money. It's like, hey, these are things that can I suggest some people, if you have some time and you don't mind doing a little digging, can you reach out? Also, Charlie Kerr.
Listen. We don't need to look at what all we have to do is get onto the podcasts that these people have, reveal what we're doing, and ask for their support. We don't have to specifically say what that support is, and people will come and support them if they knew and understood what we're doing, I would hope. But I do know that I've been to various places that I have talked. It's been a while, but I've been to various places, and I talk, and no action. Okay, so it depends on where you go. But the podcast is usually, we can get good results from, I think. But again, it's up to the people to make that connection, get the information to Jan. Jan can make the arrangements. It's that simple. Just so everybody, we're really beating the dead horse here at this point. So we're in agreement.
We are in agreement. And I'm saying that, if people believe that presenting or donating as much as they could, either they don't understand that they can do more, or they don't understand that this is a pivotal moment, or they don't understand that there's a special, whenever organization they have, okay, we have a special need, so we're putting out and we're doing a specific thing for this need, and so it's time sensitive. And then, so that's one part, that it's not an ongoing, that this is unique, that there's a window of time here.
The embarrassing thing is that even this is the third week I'm asking for help on this to give some donations. And the sad thing and the embarrassing thing is, out of the last 2 weeks, only 7 or 8 people responded. And 3 of them responded with $100. And another one responded with $75.
Yeah, that's
awesome. Yeah, but that's it. Then we have a few other people, who gave a little bit of money, and fine, that's what they can afford. And I do appreciate that. But if everyone can afford something, let's do it and let's get this done.
Okay, but I'm
So let me just make it right now. Anybody just go up here that wants to get help out, click this donate button, donate now button. And when you're checking out, finally, before you actually hit the button, there's a place where you can leave a comment. And in that comment, say, for the U.S. Supreme Court case or something of that nature.
And I'm going to just elaborate a little bit and just say that if there are people who are connected with other groups, that they can, they don't necessarily have to say everything, but say that, you know, we've put together some paperwork, we want to get it to the Supreme Court to positively affect our courts, to bring them more in line with the Constitution. Is there anyone here that could support that and get that word out there? And then also, hey, if anybody has the time to try to contact X22, or what's the other one, Redacted?
Well, X22, I've been trying to get all the X22 for years. I have no way to contact him. I have looked every way, and I have sent some emails off of his website, but never had a return on that. But maybe if enough people do, maybe they'll know.
Okay,
you know.
I'm just trying to throw out other ideas to get people to understand. It's great. We are asking donations, but we're also asking for brainstorming other ways to accomplish the same goals.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, look, we've got to move on. We've got a whole bunch of people now in the queue, so we've got a final word before we move to the next.
I do have a final unrelated word, which is, does anyone have a suggestion on how to challenge a bus ticket? They took a video, and in my case, the sign was still coming down, but I got a thing saying I have to pay $250.
Well, a bus ticket, what do you mean?
Well, that I didn't stop at the bus, the school bus.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, I'll tell you what they do here. Well, I know here in Dutchess County, if you violate something, they take a picture of you as you pass by, then they send you a bill for $300 here in Dutchess. And they let you know, look, you pay this bill and we're not even going to take you to court. I mean, that should be illegal to begin with.
The whole thing is illegal. I know.
Yeah, well, yeah, all of it's illegal. You're right. But look, we're not going to fix all that till we fix the federal court. It's an uphill battle. I got a case that I worked on for a long time, and I am up at the default here in the state court on this, and we're going to see where that goes.
So can I fight it? Is the question.
Of course you can fight it, sure. But bear in mind that what you're going to do is they're going to go after you. With the town. The town's going to come here after you, give you a ticket, bring you in, and you're going to be fighting them instead of the school. You should fight both of them if you're going to fight, but you're going to be fighting both of them. And then you may not win, and then you may have a problem with insurance, and you know how all that goes.
So no one has a suggestion how to combat this successfully?
You have to do a court case. Starting it off. You could pull it right in. If you do the court case against them, sue them in the state court, you might be able to win, and it might prevent them from going to the town because you're pulling them right into the state court. You're already in court.
And how do you pull them into the state court with the stuff that you have on the website already?
Well, yeah, there's plenty of stuff up there to get some information to be able to put it together. The key thing is really the course that we give, but there's a lot of stuff you can pull off of the website, that you can use. Especially under Education Starts Here, come down to law, and then swing on over to court forms and process. There's a lot of stuff in here that you read through. If you've got the book, Court Access in the Common Law, there's a lot of stuff in there. If you take the course, there's a lot of stuff you can download, forms, all kinds of papers. You want to open a court of record and challenge it. But you have to sit down and write a paper. But you can get a lot of ideas and information from all those resources I just told you about.
The thing itself says either it's a little bit similar, but a little bit different to a regular, like, traffic ticket. You can either agree to pay, or you can deny. They put it as deny liability.
Look, you have to sit down and think about what they're doing, and think about how they're breaking the law, and how they're really. How they're coming out and assault you to pay money. They're threatening you, because it is a threat. If you get all the paperwork and you start to read through it and you discover, well, if you don't pay us, you're going to court. I mean, that's what's going to happen. We're not gonna take you to court. It's not gonna affect your license. Just give us $300 and we're all good. You know, that's what they're doing. So you could think about how you would create a paper on that, and then you can follow a lot of information off the resources I gave you. But with that, I got to move on. Okay. Got to go to the next caller. Thanks. Okay, let's see who's next here. We got quite a few people, so we'll try to move along. Richard, North Dakota, I think it is. You got the mic.
Hey, good evening. Richard from Fargo, North Dakota. Hey, I got two questions. Have you heard anything about this QFS thing that's supposed to be going into effect?
The what?
Quantitative financial system.
No, tell me a little about it. Maybe I heard something, but just tell me a little about it. Maybe I'll maybe I heard something about it. I don't know.
Okay.
What's it called?
Quantitative financial system.
Yeah, I don't know.
Those
words don't ring a bell, but if you say something about what it's about, I might.
Quantum financial system. Q, F as in Frank, S as in Sam.
Yeah, what is that for? What's it about?
It's an operational accelerator, the old guard thing, claims the paper empires, whatever. I just wondered if you heard anything about it.
I haven't heard anything.
The stuff is going on. Had you followed up? Were you able to find anything about what was going on with that judge, at federal court judge in D.C.? That Tom, whatever, he went after him and got him for being part of the system. And anyway, there's been a couple of things like that out there. But I don't know who to believe. And how do you go up and verify that this stuff is going on? I thought maybe in your
circle. Yeah, you do have to be careful. Look, there's a lot of complaining going on, too. And I'm kind of surprised some of the podcasters that I've been listening to are complaining. You know, things aren't moving fast enough for them. You know, why isn't Bondi doing this? Why isn't this one doing that? And they're going on and on, but they don't understand. Look, you just can't go after an individual without first making a case, and you got to go through and get your indictments. There's lots of work to be done. Now, it is true they've been working on a lot of this for a long time. There's also the timing of things. I don't know whether the people are ready, because when it comes down, it's not going to come down one at a time. It might come a few people one at a time, but then there's going to be a floodgate open, and it's just going to flood out, and there's just going to be so many indictments, so many things going on, and so many arrests and suicides, and the people may not be ready for it yet. That's up to, you know, Trump is leading this thing, and he's the guy that makes the final decision, Stein, whatever it is. But there's a lot of work to be done before, you know. These complaints about, and look at even about what they're releasing with Kennedy and particularly with both, you know, I mean, they all have to, that's a lot to be digested. There's a lot to be digested there, okay? Then you had the Martin Luther King thing, and you got also the sex things that are going on with Epstein and others, you know. There's a lot to be digested, a lot to be put together, a lot of cases to be made, a lot of lawyers got to get involved, and the people have to be ready to bear what's about to happen. So that's all, you got to take that into consideration. And, you know, I know what's involved with writing cases and putting things together, and it's a lot of work, you know, a lot of work.
Well, I had sent to you, I sent to Jan, I sent it to Mail, National Liberty Alliance, I sent it to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One interview that they had on there, and there was one in there about the one I sent from American Intelligence Media. Those people, you got to watch some of the stuff that they've got. They have incredible resources that they're digging into things. They found something 17 layers deep. I mean, these creeps are really going at it. But anyway, I sent that one to you, and I sent another one about this judge that was being challenged by Tom Harmon, I think his name is, that ICE guy. And he had facts, and he has stuff there. The FBI was there, and that's what it said. And I sent that. But the one on that American Intelligence Media, it's on something about this treason, and about this, what they're doing is actually a religion, but they have the truth, something from going back 2,000 years of all kinds of stuff that fact he said. And I sent that to you as well. You can listen to the first 5 minutes and decide if it's something you want to keep on going.
A couple of things, you know. I just don't get to see everything I get to begin with.
I didn't send it to your attention.
I'm just saying. But, you know, there's a lot going on. That's true. And, you know, you only get so much time in a day to watch things.
Yeah. No,
listen to things.
Okay.
I try to listen to things that working, but you can only get so much.
I hear. Okay, good enough. I just wondered if you had anything about it. That's it. But what I want to get to is this thing that we were talking about last week. We bought a house. Now this townhome thing is totally gone. I mean, that's another issue. But we purchased a house here last summer, and it started in March, and it got down to where they wanted to, on the purchase agreement, they wanted to exclude all and any home furnishings and appliances. Sellers, and every one of these things had this comment on it: sellers may remove any and all personal property and our personal items prior to closing. Well, they have to, under FHA, first-time home buyers, you can't sell a house and make them have to pay extra for the furnishing, the appliances. That has to come with it. So on the next one, they can't, no, it's going to include this, and that. And then they had a comment in there that upon closing, all personal property left behind in addition to the home furnishings and appliances shall become property of the buyers. All right, now, they've been bugging us to want, they wanted us to pay $10,000 for this stuff in here, and furniture and stuff. And I said, hey, I walked around the place and I said, I got to know how you came up with that $10,000. So I want a list of what you had, when you purchased, where you purchased, and how much you paid for it.
Why
I found out everything in this house. But here's the thing. They're insisting that we agreed to pay them $10,000. I had never agreed. My wife never did that. What we settle on, they want all the money right now. And I said, we can't. Let me finish. Okay. But now what
There's law that controls all that. You need to look into the law. You know, I'm a builder in New York. I've built many, many homes and a lot of different kinds of construction. And whenever I build a house, all of the base, you always put a refrigerator in a stove. You put all that stuff in the basic appliances, you know, but I don't put furniture. But all the appliances and everything are in, so that should be part of the house sale. And it shouldn't be in the
kitchen. It is. But they're coming back. Their initial thing was $10,000 for all the appliances and all the home furnishings, you know, the curtains and all that stuff. When the next one came in, that was all going
to
be included.
Okay. What I'm trying to say is
the appliances. But now we're getting down to, they're still insisting that we agreed to pay them $10,000. No, I didn't. Let me finish. We want a meeting of the minds to come to an agreement on anything. Any payment is going to have to be set up. Now, I'm just going to read you, I just give you a little background.
Let me just respond to what you've already said, and I can't get too deep into this. We do have a lot of people here tonight. Here's the bottom line on this, okay? I've always been presumptuous. I never looked into the law about this. I never even thought about it. I know a lot of builders and other people doing building and different things, and they always put the appliances and everything in there. You know, the only time I've ever seen a place sold with furniture in it was when it was the model, and they had the furniture in it, and it became part of the thing, but I don't know what the contract was like. Look, it's either in the contract that, listen, it's either in the contract that you signed, or it's not. Stop.
I'm with you. I want your feedback on how I respond to the letter that we got from the attorney. They said,
stop.
You close on the property, you have not made any payments toward the...
All right, look, I had to mute you so I can talk, because, you know, look, it's a very simple thing. Look in the contract. If it's in the contract, then you're stuck with it. If it's not in the contract, then the heck with them. Then you don't have to pay it. And you could tell the lawyers to take a hike. It's that simple. Now, there may be some law in the state, and you know, I never looked into this, but there may be laws in the states that when you build a house and put it up for sale that you have to put the appliances in. But I don't know that that's the case. It's that everybody I know that builds always did that. It was part of the house. It's in their price. It's in their, you know, what they put together for. And if you're building lots of houses, you usually have one as a model, and you give upgrades. Hey, you want this appliance instead of that one, or whatever the case may be, and you adjust the prices accordingly. So all of that should have been already in. If you signed a contract, look in the contract. If it's in there, it's in there. If it's not, it's not. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. So let me give you a mic back.
How should I respond to that letter? Okay, they said we agreed upon the value of home furnishings. No, we didn't. And the amount of, and then they're demanding $3,000 and then $586 payment, blah, 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 blah. And this is the same person that screwed up four
is
different purchase agreements.
Is it in the contract?
How should I respond? Just point out it's paragraph number 13.
You take the contract, and if it's not in the contract that you agreed with them so far, You just send them a letter telling them it's not in the contract, so it's not going to be paid for, period.
And there was no separate written agreement as well. There was
it doesn't get any more difficult than that, though, Richard. That's it. There's nothing else to talk about with them.
Okay, all right. So she's threatening, you know, to take it to district court or from all claims court, and I said, good. A friend of mine went through the same thing, and she went to an attorney. They wanted a minimum. You said $2,000. He was told $5,000 just to start it. You said that earlier in the conversation.
You're not going to take me to court. They use lawyers just to make the thing because, like you said, you want. They're saying $10,000. You're not seeing $10,000, and you're going through. You want them to give you an itemized list. They're not going to be able to do that if it's the case that it's all, you know, crap. You know. So.
Well, it's all closed. The closing period. It says. Anything left behind at closing belongs to the buyers. It's ours.
All right.
I just want to know. So you're kind of agreeing with me. I'm just looking for confirmation. This letter is just a letter of intimidation to help me get us the case.
It's very simple. Just look at the contract. Whatever you agreed in the contract, I'm sure you read through it. And, you know, they love that fine print. So if you have something like this, you definitely better read the fine print, you know. But in any event.
So what I'll do then, I'll just refer to, because you said any questions or comments, email or call. I'm going to send her an email, but I'm just going to put on there, in response to your letter, I refute all of it, part and parcel. There never was an agreement. Refer it to
you list
paragraph number 13.
Look, I'm going to tell you very simply, then I got to move on, okay? You take the list of the things that they're claiming. You go into the contract. It's not there. You give the list back, not in the contract, not in the contract, not in the contract, not in the contract. And then you
never got a list.
Then there's nothing else to talk about. Don't worry about it then. If you've done that, it's... You know,
all right. That's all I wanted to do. Okay, thanks. Okay. It was just a letter of trying to kind of scare us into.
All right, I got an hour left, and we got
a
lot of people.
Take care. Yep. Right. Good night. Thank you.
Jay, North Carolina, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hey, John, it's Jay.
How you doing?
I have not been on the call for 6 or 8 months or something.
Oh boy, I recognize that.
But
it's been a while.
Like I got us on the Power Hour radio show that time, and I tried to get us on Alex Jones. Do you know Gary Franchi?
I don't know.
Network, I know him.
Next News Network. That's an avenue I would think.
I don't know how to get a hold of him, but
yeah. Do you know Mark Z?
No.
Okay, he does a show on the it's the original Mark Z, and he does a show on basically finances, you know, the dinar and the dong and everything.
Right.
He does a coffee with Mark Z every morning, but he has guests on his show that, you know, are on there for a half hour, 45 minutes. He's got a pretty good following. I'll try to get a hold of that, but I'm trying to think, Can you do a GoFundMe page?
You know, I thought about it. We've done a GoFundMe page a long time ago. I thought it was a pretty good one, and we put it out to the people. People that went out that we sent did give money, and we didn't really collect what we were hoping to collect. But, you know, you have to really know what you're doing to really get it out there, you know? So we'd have to... do it at a time after when we know that we've got a bunch of interviews going and then we can bring it up and put it out there and then advertise it on the interviews.
I'll see if I can't get a hold of a couple podcasters and see if I can't get an interview. But I will donate $200 to the cause, and I'll give you $100 for membership.
Yay!
we appreciate that, Jay. It's been a while since I heard from you. You're still trucking, aren't you?
Yep, still trucking.
Well,
now all we got to do is clone you 100 times.
So, anyways, can I call you after the call and give you because I'm moving right now.
I think you got my number, don't you?
Yeah, and the problem is, if I don't do it now while I'm thinking about it, I'll stop in 3-4 hours at the end of the night and then think about it, and then tomorrow it'll be totally out of mind. And
you can call me after the call. You know.
Okay, all right. I'll give you $200 for the case cause and $100 for membership fees.
Well, that's appreciated, Jay. Thanks.
Cool. All right. Well, I was just thinking, who can we get to, but.
Even if you can think of just one person that we can get an interview with, and other people can think of just one person, maybe we can have 6 or 8 or 10 people that'll do interviews with us.
Uh-huh. Well, Gary Franchi interviewed me a long, 10, 12, almost 20 years ago. He was calling me the DVD vigilante or whatever, because I was handing out 45,000 copies of 9/11 DVDs and stuff to people, you know?
Yeah.
But he interviewed me a long time ago, and then he took over for Aaron Russo when Aaron died.
I mean, killed.
Yeah.
Bathroom.
Yeah, he went, yeah. I figured it was some kind of
no doubt
radiation crap they put in, yeah, under his house or something, because he went so fast.
Yeah, he
but
did.
But, yeah, I was involved with him during all that when he died. And Gary Franchi actually interviewed me before Aaron died. But anyways, I'm just trying to think of who we can get on with, you know. Because I still can't. I mean, I've tried 3 or 4 times to get to Alex Jones, and he, I don't know.
Yeah, he's
don't
he's,
get
he's,
it. I don't get it. You know, I don't get it. Why they won't be on board.
I think he's more freer than he was back then.
Uh-huh.
That's what I think. But again, there's a lot of people that we can, you know, get a lot of things out to a lot of people that are out there doing podcasts. But we just have to have people to dig out that information, get the contact, and find out who needs to be spoken to in order to get the some communications to see if they're interested. Jan will make the arrangements. Usually I have a pre-meeting, you know, prior to going on to their program. Because I used to do a lot of interviews way back
maybe,
when.
Maybe you could get on with Tucker Carlson. I mean, he's really waking up now.
Well, yeah, he's. Know? I'm going to be sending him a book also.
The problem is getting a hold of these people, you know. You can't.
Yeah, well, I got his address, so I'm going to send him a book. He's on the list of sending a book to.
But I watched a show with him with the next congressman, and they were going off on 9/11, and I put a comment in on the thing. Here's a good start, and I gave him a list of 10 DVDs to watch. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if he will, but. He's just starting to ask, what about Building 7, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah. Well, they draw, those draw you in. If you just sit down and listen to it for a while, you get drawn into them. Because I remember I collected a lot of them, too, way back when. So
I would think Tucker Carlson would be on board with it. I really do. If we
I plan on, like I said, I plan on sending him a book, a matter of fact, 2 books. And because he's spoken about certain things that, it kind of clicked that I think that's an opening for me. And so we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's waking up. And mm-hmm. he's one of the guys I was like, you sell out, son of a bitch. Anybody that poo-pooed us on 9/11 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I considered my enemy. So he was one of those.
Glenn Beck, too. I'm going to send him a book also, Glenn Beck.
Okay. So. All right. Yeah, Glenn Beck.
Yep.
He's got major podcast. Yeah. They're all off the network now, so they can, you know, do what they want to do. So
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, well, I don't want to take up too much time, but I'll call you after the call, and I'll give you my debit card number, and you can do that after the call?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, all right, cool.
All right, Jay.
All right. Bye. Hi, everybody.
Bye. Okay, our next caller is Mark. What state are you from, Mark? You got the mic.
Okay, can you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Okay.
You sounded like, I don't know, Donald Duck or something before. We've had that from time to time by other people. What, did you have to just reboot the program or your computer too?
I shut it down and started back up, yeah.
Okay, so you sound good.
Okay, this is a county committee safety question.
Okay.
I'll give you the Reader's Digest, but if I miss an item, just ask a question. And if Bill is on this call, he's more familiar with this. Maybe I told him to get on this call. He might get on later to reiterate what I'm trying to say. Anyhow, our county has created a sewer board, and this started like in 2019, And they didn't make it public until just this past February. And they are saying there's like five or six phases of 2,700 customers. And they're starting out with phase one of only 600 customers around a lake area, of about six or seven lakes. And they're saying your sewer is going to be from $75 to up to like $225 a month, and a hookup from $2,000 to $20,000. And this board is not a voted board. They've been nominated, and they've been given a certificate of appointment. So there's no oath. This board has already created $500,000 of debt, and this whole...
Well, I'll tell you how you might be able to shut them right down.
Sure.
I'll bet you dollars to donuts they didn't do an environmental impact study, and if they haven't, they can't do anything.
Okay.
Well, now they will try. You know, I learned about this with Robert Schultz with We the People. This is like one of his first cases where they tried to do exactly what you're talking about, all these people and everything else. And then he found out about the environmental impact study that they didn't do it, and they were pushing all this stuff forward, okay? And, you know, and that's pretty much how he shut them down, with the environmental impact study.
Because they had to go to the Indiana Department of Environmental Management to get this board approved.
But the question is, was the study done?
Yes.
Okay. The payola goes on there. There's you know, there may be some people who know each other and this and that, and they're pushing things through, whatever the case may be. A lot of politics to play in there. And yes, if they can bypass it, they'll bypass it. God forbid you go build a house and you have maybe a little bit of a swamp or something, and you don't go do an impact study on that and spend all this craziness and money. You know, they really put the screws to you for these tiny little things. Just think about what they got to do.
Okay.
But and it turns out that, you know, the septic systems around the lake where Bob Schultz was involved in talking about had no impact on the lake at all. There was no problems with that. So
yes,
it wasn't needed.
Yes. And then there's been some people that have taken their own water samples from tanks to on their pier, and they've been okay.
Yeah.
So well, what they found with Bob's thing is that the central sewer system was very much more a problem and a potential, you know, a potential problem and a problem, where the separate systems were better, and they can't, the separate ones will never fail at the same time like that big system can. And so it didn't make sense to do it.
Well, they probably need more fluoride, too.
Well, this is water treatment for water.
I don't know how many people got that one.
Mm-hmm.
Where fluoride comes from, but we'll bypass that.
Okay.
Fluoride's drinking water, John.
I understand. They put it in drinking water. Where do you think they get it from, though?
Oh, I think it's a byproduct of making aluminum, and that's why they give it to us, because it's expensive
it's a byproduct
to get rid
of waste, too. So, I mean, that's what I've heard.
A byproduct of aluminum. Waste. It's deadly poisonous. Mm-hmm. So what do you do with poison? You feed it to the people, don't you know? Stupid.
Well,
right.
Well, they've been feeding us all kinds of poison for a long time.
Well, it's cheaper to get rid of it like that. So,
thank God we have Kennedy in here now.
Yeah.
All right, Mark, anything else? We're going to move on. We're running
study. We'll pursue that, and not necessarily the appointed board. That's we can't do nothing about an appointed board.
Well, again, you know, I don't know the politics, what's going on up there, and it's usually politic, and it gets this stuff going. You know, you got to dig deep and some research on why they want to do this. There's money to be made.
Yes.
A lot of people are going to be making money, and a lot of people are going to be exchanging, you know, money even within the political individuals up there, one way or another, you know, maybe into their retirement fund or this or that, and whatever the case may be.
Yes.
You know, yeah. With what we're seeing going on with Doge, I mean, and U.S. AID, I mean, this seems to be everywhere.
Yes.
You know, so.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Next, Tony from Pennsylvania. You got the mic.
Hello.
Hey, before you go, Tony, Gerard, have you heard anything new about Tony? If you did, give me a call after the call.
Yeah, I did. I meant to call you today. I got busy.
I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
You know, when you call me, I may be on with Jay. I'll get back to you. If he calls me on Skype number, I can pull you in.
Okay.
Okay. Well, if you call me on Skype, I can tie it all together. Tony, you got the mic from Pennsylvania.
Hello, John and Jan. So, as I was listening, and what we started here in Pennsylvania was with our Pennsylvania Pioneers. Jan, you spoke to what's her name? My Matika, Laura Matika, and she said you guys were supposed to be doing something, working out something with our committees of safeties here in Pennsylvania. So I was wondering because
I think they wanted me to speak or something.
I thought it was supposed to be like April 25th on Friday or something like that. I don't know the date, but I was wondering. The ones who had put this all Pennsylvania Pioneers together, Karen and
hold on, Jen, do we have a date on that? Do you know? Did we ever settle?
I'm waiting for Laura to get back with us. She was going to hunt up a number of people and get them all set for that date of the 29th or 5th, whatever it was.
But right. Well, like they're going to need to do that soon so that I can put it on my schedule.
I don't have a firm date yet, John.
All right. Well, we'll do whatever we can. Maybe we'll have to move into the next month.
Well, we have our meeting on Wednesday night, and I can mention it again. I just texted Laura to see if she had confirmed any dates with you and stuff. But Karen and Chris,
Wednesday was a conflict because that's the
Bible. Right. Yeah. Right. That's why I said I think it was the 25th, which would have been Friday or something.
I wanted to do something, I think, on a Monday, which would have been before the call, which I could accommodate.
Yeah, well, I'll mention it to them again. Like I just did earlier, just a little bit ago. But what I want to say is that they started getting volunteers for different committees. So if we did like a committee for funding with you, mm-hmm. would that be something? Because I tried.
How many people you got in the committee at the moment?
Oh, they have all the information. I'm the moderator in Montgomery County.
But whatever we do, I think I should probably have a call before the call, to discuss and get an idea of what they're looking or anything particular. I mean, I could do anything off the fly anyway. It doesn't really matter. But it would be good to know what it is that they really wanted to look into. Maybe it's just a Q&A. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. That's what they're going to be talking about. Like, they have, like, this whole ambassador thing. Like I said, I'm just a moderator in Montgomery County. Then the whole Pennsylvania is much bigger than I am. But the thing is that with the funding, if we put something out there with you, like the NLA, doing a funding thing for all of the members, because I know I donated to you too. So the whole thing is that if we set up something for funding for out to everybody, like a mass mail email or something, mm-hmm. I'm not sure. To set something up, say, hey, we're just looking for $5 again this month or so. Right. And I did buy your book from last month, last week and things, so I'm not sure if that helps you.
Well, definitely, because, again, that goes into NLA directly, and if I could take anything out, I do. But.
And then your letters that you had posted tonight, the two-pager, if you clean that up and are you willing to send that out to us so we could also, if we either modify it with our own verbiage or just sign it and send it on to these people too with the information?
Yeah, you could do whatever you want with it. I'll post it up, and maybe next Monday I'll make a note on next Monday's meeting on where I posted it so people could download that paper. And, hopefully maybe I'll have the paper written up that's going to go to the Supreme Court. And I'll post that up too. and people. And again, look at all pretty much any papers I write. You can take anything you want out of it. You can change it, alter it, use it for other purposes. Look at, I'm quoting most of what I write is quoting others, and you know, mostly our founding fathers, of course, and the Supreme Court, and so on, and law.
Yeah, and I don't want to get caught like copywriting something.
No,
it's yours, you know. So I don't want to.
Well, the books are copyrighted, but nevertheless, you know, you can use the information in the book.
Your letters?
Yeah, you could use any. Yeah, I look at the memorandums are there for people to use. I mean, I wrote them, and I wrote a book just memorandums also, and so and people should use them in their court cases, you know, and wherever they can.
Yeah, and that guy with the real estate, the building, the house question. Yes, it is in the contract, either buy the house with appliances or without appliances. My daughter's a realtor. I was a mortgage officer, and it's always, the appliances don't always come with the house here in Pennsylvania. Other states, they might, but it depends on the state law plus what the mortgage is, what the contract was saying.
And some people don't want a new client, they want themselves, but most people look. As a builder, you know, if I'm building a house, I give them a budget. I give them certain things that I'll put into the house, and it's a budget. If they want to upgrade it, then they pay for the upgrade, and that's it. Because when you put the house together, you know, and sell it as a contract to sell it before you go build it, you know, you want to have everything in there that it's a working home.
When you're out there shopping for your appliances.
You also don't want to put the most expensive in there, and you also don't want the most cheap. You know, so you put something that's decent, and then people want something better, you know, then they upgrade.
Listen, I've bought lots of used houses in the past, and what they do is they make them sign a statement that everything is in working order.
Yeah.
It's assumed to be in working order. When I bought this house, I was here 2 months and the hot water tank burst, and I called up my lawyer, and he called up the realtor, and they put a new one in because it was implied that it works, so they had to cover it. It's like an insurance policy. That's normal stuff. But as far as furniture goes...
Usually, you know, if you're going to buy a house that's already there, especially an older house, they should have an inspector come in, and it should come in with...
Well, that's it. The inspector is supposed to inspect it for the bank. The bank wants to...
Yeah, but here in Pennsylvania, they're selling houses without inspections now because they just want to...
It's whatever you want to do with the contract. That's just the bank that does that. Two people, look, you can make a contract with somebody, and you can put anything in there. I'm going to leave my mother-in-law there. She's yours. If you agree, it is. You know what I mean? So it's not written in stone. Furniture usually never goes. I mean, but if they want to do that, that's up to them. It has to be in a contract, though, obviously, right? Well, you know, even though they inspect the home,
well, you have to give
look
all
at the inside
the information
of that tank.
On the home.
What's that?
You have to give all the information on the home. Let's say you have a water problem in the basement. You're going to sell that home, and if it's got a water problem, you got to let the people know, and or you need to repair that water problem. Sometimes you get a leak, you put a pump in there, some pump, and it depends on the home and how old it is. Maybe it's got a stone foundation. I've seen homes I've done renovations on that have literally stone foundations, you know, rocks.
Well, that's why the banks require a home inspector to inspect
absolutely.
It to pick up that stuff.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know?
They're changing the rules on this stuff here in Pennsylvania now, and the zoning, so...
Until they know something's going to be done and make sure it's something solid that doesn't bite them down the road themselves. Because they're putting the money out. Well, actually, they're not putting the money out. It's coming out of the Fed window anyway. But they're responsible for that.
What is your committee of safety called, John?
What is the committee of safety called?
Yeah, for you, like where you're located.
Dutchess County Committee of Safety.
Dutchess County where? Like Maine, Massachusetts? Or?
New York, Dutchess County Committee of Safety.
Where? One town? What state?
New York.
Dutchess County, New York. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Well, thank you for everything you told me tonight. Thank you very much.
All right. All right, we'll take the next caller. Thanks. Okay, is that Kevin from New York? TV?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, my name. If you remember me, there was one time.
Yes, your voice is very familiar.
Okay. Yes. Wow, I'm back. I think I stopped listening for like 6 years because I was going through a lot of stuff. I think you remember, I sent you some gold for some debt, remember? I don't know. That's me.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? Okay.
I kind of remember, but I definitely recognize your voice.
Yes. Any case, I would like to get in contact with you. Perhaps I'm going to send you my court documents right now. I have a court right now in the Southern District of New York. My court case is a federal case. I don't know if you have you ever opened a case in the Southern District of New York?
Way too many, unfortunately.
Okay, yes.
They're really tough to deal with, but all the federal courts are like that these days, but we're trying to clean them up, but you know, we're doing what we can.
Okay.
I don't know that I have time to get involved in the case. I can give you some advice, but I don't have time.
My case is very advanced. Actually, I did my case under Rule Nisi. You know about Rule Nisi? I think you do. I did my case under Rule Nisi and a writ of injunction, writ of prohibition, and writ of quo warranto.
Okay, so you're talking about a Nisi Prius.
Okay. Yes, so I did that. In that case, I opened it when Trump was getting sentenced.
Uh-huh.
I opened it and I sent those papers on Alvin Bragg. This is a case you should take a look because I'm going to amend this complaint and I think I want to probably.
Well, how many pages is it?
It's 28 double space.
I'll see if I can breeze through it, but I'm not going to promise you too much on it because, again, you know, my time, I work all day long. I get up in the morning, I go to work, and I work until dinner and even after dinner. And, you know, the time.
Well, the case, I'm going to cut through the case because that's actually, I served the papers on Bragg and all that stuff. My judge is Del Ho. I don't know if you ever heard that judge. Del Ho?
No.
The Chinese guy. Okay, that's the same guy who was presiding over Adam's case. So I opened that case and I defaulted to the judge. I actually vacated the bench. He's out of my case.
Well, remember that a judge is an administrative law judge. Has nothing to do.
I know that because I requested an Article 3, and they never gave me Article 3 common law. Because I'm listening to you, and this is what I learned from.
Yeah, you got to be careful when you say Article 3 because again, you know, a court of record is the key. Trial by jury is another key. But even with that, the juries are also, you know, stacked. You know, they're not really free.
No, I didn't request jury because I know that
court of record jury trial.
Well, yeah,
judge can't make a decision on that case. Can't even make a summary to the decisions, but they do. They're not supposed.
Well, my point is that I appealed. Even the court of appeals accepted my appeal. Okay, so I'm at the Court of Appeals right now, and
just bear in mind, you're still in the administrative process, and they're going to rule through the administrative process.
No, they don't, because I never heard of the rule enacting, what is it, rules?
Rules Enabling Act.
Yes, and because my point is that I already defaulted them, and I'm already a trustee, in fact. I became a trustee, because that's how I opened my case. I defaulted the whole court. I even leaned the clerk of the court. That's why, because I'm coming.
In a nutshell, what is the case about?
The case is about, I lost my house. Okay. I brought this case because exactly what you're talking about. The judiciary is corrupt. So it's a systemic problem. So my case, I brought it against a systemic corruption. I mean, the whole judiciary is corrupt. And so my case is against Alvin Bragg, that was Judge Merchan.
What you want to do, though, the where that case needs to go at this point, if you lost your home, is to the federal court for a denial of due process and nothing else. Once you start talking in the federal court about anything that they cannot hear, they're just going to throw your case out because they can't hear it.
My case is advanced. My case is very advanced. Actually, I think because I know that my case is very, actually, I think I'm already almost up to this.
Let me tell you what I'll do. Send me the case, and I'll try to find time to breeze through it. We'll talk about
it
a little.
It's not long, yeah, because I did a lot of non-conventional, because I learned from you. I actually started with you like 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then when I started losing my house, I even went to the state court, and this is where I lost my house because the judges didn't do anything. They didn't. I lost my house.
They took the house away. Was that a town court?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. They have that. And look at their nisi prius courts. Unless you agree, they have no authority, no personam jurisdiction. But it turns out that also a state court. When you go into a state court and you open a case, or if someone's suing you and you do a counter lawsuit, counter suit, okay, and you opt into the Seventh Amendment. That you want, you're not interested in an administrative law judge, you want the jury, okay? You want a court of a record. And once you do that, they're supposed to turn that over. They can't even make summary judgments, but they do. They'll even tell you how you can't bring this information in or that proof in, you know, whatever evidence you have. They play around with your evidence, too, you know? They try to deny...
The judge wouldn't even sign my order, my Article 15 order, where you could just fight, you could prove that your house is yours, and then it's like an order to show cause, actually.
You're not going to get involved with that. You're only going to win on a cause in a federal court for cause and for a denial of due process. That is the only way you're going to be able to win in a federal court on that case. And if you prove a denial of due process, they better go see how they're going to buy your house back or give you a whole bunch of money. But getting that through the federal court is another problem now. And the Southern District Court, I think, is one of the most criminal courts in the state of New York.
But that's where I am. And I'm going to send you my paperwork because my case is very advanced.
I don't know that you have to file in the Southern District.
No, but I didn't file for my house. I used my house as a predicate. As a predicate because when they were sentencing Trump, I'm not sure, really. I really don't know if this actually stopped because you have to read my case.
We run out of time. I got two more people. I want to give them a couple of minutes before we close down. Send me the case. I'll try to find
it. To this address on the website?
I'm going to breeze through your case, okay?
Yes.
I'm not going to be able to really get down deep into it, but I'll be able to tell just by breezing through whether you took the right approach. Okay, so let me see what you got. Talk to me next Monday. Send it to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org.
Okay, so the address on the mail, over here on the website, that's where I send it?
Yeah, mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org.
Okay, all right, thank you.
And if you send it out tomorrow, I'll kind of keep an eye open for it.
Okay.
Because I don't read. I just don't.
No, I'm not sending you because I want you to help me. I want to send you because I want to see.
To see what you're doing. I understand. I have a little bit of an interest in this case because, I've done a lot of work with non-judicial foreclosures and what's going on in New York with this, and pretty much it's nationwide problem and the inability for them to take this through the regular courts because of the fraud that's involved and the robo-signing and all the other things that go behind this thing. There's just a lot of crime in this whole process. Plus the fact that the bank has no interest in it because they don't have any agreement, direct agreement with you. They don't have no skin in the game. They already got their point or 2 points or half a point or whatever they got for moving the house, the mortgage through the window, okay?
It was a tax foreclosure. It was a
doesn't matter.
Tax.
They don't have agreement with them either. There's no. Okay. I gotta go. Send me the case. I'll try to find time to breeze through it. You can talk to me next Monday.
Okay. All right.
I get two other people. It's after 11. I'll give you a couple minutes apiece. Sorry for that, but we'll see where we go. Richard, North Dakota, it looks like.
Yeah, this is Richard again. See, I don't have any question. I just have a comment. Have you heard anything about Hillsdale College? I'm a member
familiar
of that
them, but they don't understand common law, it seems, unfortunately.
Well, they want to do some training. They want to start some educational process on.
Yeah, if you teach people about the law and you teach, you look at, they got the guy is brilliant that runs the place. Okay, he has great knowledge, the president. But I've listened in on some things, and they lack the common law. They don't understand the destruction that was made in the courts of the Rules Enabling Act. They don't understand ultimately, really. Remember, they were formally educated. Anybody formally educated is polluted with all kinds of stuff, especially in the law part of things. But it's true, probably.
Maybe nationally realized and re-educated. Maybe they're not aware of this stuff. And you may be nationally realized. I would say send them your book.
Well, they're not. Look, they're not interested in, because I'm a crazy to them. Look, what I read in the paper a little earlier. Hopefully I didn't ruin this quote. It's a Mark Twain quote. It ain't what you don't know that gets you. It's that what you think you know, and you don't. Yep. That's paraphrasing the death. But in any event, that's the problem with them. I have talked with a lot of lawyers. It's like deers in the headlights. They're not getting it. They don't want to get it. They spent $250,000 or $300,000 to get their education. They were taught that our law comes from Rome. They're taught that we have to live off statutes. We apply that upon the people. Yeah. We're under civil law. They never heard of the Rules Enabling Act. They have no clue what common law means.
Exactly.
Common law has to do with what's called comity, C-O-M-I-T-Y. Which is the trial court rulings and stuff, and they apply that as if that has something to do with my case. Okay, things similar is not necessarily the same thing. It has nothing to do with my case, and that's not common law. All it is
my dealings with them have been similar to yours. You can't get them to even look at the law. They should, nope, this is the way it is. I ain't going to hang that down.
They're not in it. Look, they're making too much money, and you're spoiling their whole game here. What you have to say.
Yep. Now, one other comment. Are you aware of that?
We've already been a lot of time, and we've got one other person.
No.
It's after 11. I got to go.
There's a property tax lawsuit against the state of Texas on the illegality of property taxes. And he's bringing a case. I think he's going to the Supreme Court with this, that Texas is illegally taxing on property. And he's got all the stuff in there. He was on some realtor.
Any property being taxed is illegally done. It's a direct tax.
Right. But he's going after it.
Yeah,
we're
well,
doing it in North Dakota as well.
Until we get the courts back, you know, he's not going to get anywhere.
Okay.
Maybe
working in conjunction with those kind of people, too.
Look, if he gets through it, I'd love to hear it. You know, so let me know if he gets through it, because I'd love to see that case that gets through that. I mean, eventually.
Yeah, I sent it to Jan and Andrew.
Two things that are going to happen. I've been talking about this for a long time, okay? Two things, ever since I realized what Trump is doing, goes back to 2017, 2018, and you realize, okay, we're going to get back things. And there are other reasons why I believe that. But the thing is that direct tax is unlawful. It's in our Constitution. If they tax your property every year, you don't own it. You're paying them rent or whatever it is that they think they're collecting, and they call it a tax.
Yep.
That's unlawful. Same thing on your sweat. You know, your labor. You can't. That's a direct tax. You can't pay. You can't charge a direct tax. So it's that simple. So we will eventually get that back, providing we get our courts back. So we may get our nation back, not our courts. Got to go.
What about Mike Lindell TV? Have you talked?
I don't know how to approach those people. I really don't. I don't have. I'd have to find the time to research, to educate myself, to see how people approach for money. I understand there is a process. I understand. Look, I've asked some people for money. I guess I just ask it the wrong way. I don't go through the procedures that they have set up. Someone corrected me on this, said, look, there's a procedure. They're not even going to bother looking at your papers. You got to do this. And they were supposed to help me, but I never got the help, so it didn't happen.
Oh, to get on your program. They have
one person. I got
to
go. Okay, we'll talk
bye-bye.
Next week if you want. Brett, you got the mic. What state are you from? I know we spoke before.
Wisconsin.
Go right ahead.
Yes. So so I have two questions. Hopefully we'll get them both. But first one is, how do you respond? How would I respond to missing a pretrial hearing?
How do you respond to missing a pretrial hearing?
Yeah, I had a hearing.
Yeah, is this a criminal case?
I'm sorry?
Is it criminal or civil?
No, it was a small claim.
Okay, you against you, or you were doing it? You were suing someone else.
Against me.
Okay, so they were suing you. Okay, and did you? Well, you need to call. Do you have a good reason for missing it?
I didn't see a letter that came and time well, until
look
the
at,
day
look
after.
I have a default going on, and I was busy doing other things, and I didn't pay attention to my mail, and the judge had sent me the papers that I had to send in by a certain point in time. And by the time I got around to the envelope, opened it up and saw what was going on, the date was already passed. I called up and spoke with the judge's clerk, told them what had happened and why I missed it. And they said, okay, no problem, you're pro se, we understand that. We'll send you out, just send us a letter. I faxed it to them of what took place and why I missed it. And they sent me a new paper, and the day I got it out. And so it's a default in my case. Okay, so if you get a hold of the judge's clerk, you can do that. But let me ask you a question. What kind of court is this? Town court, village court, state court? What kind of court?
Circuit.
Okay, circuit being state court, I guess. Right?
No, I think it's, I don't know.
Some of these states do things so differently, you know? They really do. I mean, a circuit court, for instance, on the federal level, is one of 13 different jurisdictions spread out through the United States, and that's really the appellate process, the appeals process. On a federal level, of course, you have district courts. So each year in New York, we have I think four districts. But on other states, and we call our court here in New York State the Supreme Court. So it's the Supreme Court of New York, New York Supreme Court, Dutchess County, New York Supreme Court, Albany County, or Ulster County, or whatever county you're in. So each county has its own, and I'm sure that's the same in all states. But I don't know why what a circuit court is. What state are you in? Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of a court that is. Sounds like a state court.
And what happened was when the first hearing, I went to the first hearing before I went to that hearing.
This is a small claims, right? How much is involved?
Yeah, $7,000 credit card balance.
$700 or $7,000?
I'm sorry?
Seven what? How much is involved?
$1,000, yeah.
$7,000, okay. $7,000, well, that's no longer a small claims. That's why they can hear it. You know, you're not going to hear a small claims per se, really a small claims. With small claims, maybe I think here in New York, it depends, it's like $3,000 or something, that's small claims. Maybe it's $3,500. And anything above that, anything that and below, the state court won't hear it. But once it's above that, then the state court will pick it up. So, but $7,000, I'm sure, is no longer a small claims. It's a credit card thing, but there's ways you can win the credit card thing, and it depends on who's collecting. Do you have an agreement with the people who's collecting?
Yeah, but that was the thing. They sent a sheet of paper with these allegations, and I rebutted it, all of them, point for point. And when it got to the hearing, I asked the judge if it got my paper, and then they moved on to a new date.
All right, well, how long ago was it that you were supposed to respond and you didn't go in for the hearing? Or the pretrial, whatever it was?
This would have been the 18th, or not the 18th.
So right before the holiday?
Right, yeah.
Call up and talk with the clerk and fix it. I'm sure they'll fix it.
Okay.
Just give them a good reason on why, and they'll probably tell you respond by letter and we'll reset it.
Okay.
Remember, you're pro se. They're supposed to give you more leeway than it would with a lawyer. A lawyer is a different story.
Okay. You know?
Okay, Brett, I got to go. And if you want to talk more, we can talk next week.
Okay, thank you, John.
Okay, with that, we're going to close down for the night. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. And Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And let's try to get these papers going. Good night. Well, I've got to shut the record off first. Hold on.